Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Series Fest 2021 is in full virtual swing this Monday, and one series pilot getting buzz, plenty of buzz, is the dramedy Middle of Nowhere. Producer, writer, director Michelle Palermo joins me next. Our second half-hour guest is becoming Netflix's new purveyor of unscripted animal series. On July 7th, Dogs goes into Season 2, while Cat People begins its existence. The Link, executive producer Glenn Zipper. Also ahead, News No Quickies and our classic trivia question. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, and present on Amazon Music, Verbal, the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, and Apple Podcasts. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book or two when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. 93 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York. We are in day one of a heat wave, and it's not just us up and down the East Coast, Pacific Northwest as well, where they're having extreme heat wave. Temperatures this hour above 110 degrees in plenty of places. So if you're in a heat wave area, we remind you, take it easy if you have to go out. Give yourself extra time. Drink plenty of fluids, plenty of liquids. Check on the loved ones, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know the drill. And if you have to stay indoors, keep company with us. We've got a great hour in store for you. Two wonderful guests, both from Los Angeles. And we invite you to be part of the program. It's so simple. It's a show about TV's current and future. And if you have a question or comment about that subject, make a call to 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere you are catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio. Our chat room is open for business, too. It's SimonApple04 by name, and you'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And as always, while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk, Spreaker, or TuneIn screen. Follow the instructions so other people can be live with you. Michelle Palermo from the Series Fest presented dramedy Middle of Nowhere will join us live from L.A. after these news note quickies. NBC has its Daddy Warbucks set and ready for the Annie Live musical special this fall. It's Harry Connick Jr. Made for Love will continue on HBO Max for a second season. Ghost Adventurers moves from Travel Channel to Discovery Plus July 22nd for its next season. Antonio Banderas will star in The Monster of Florence, a six-hour miniseries put together by Francis Studio Canal. It is in English. And Lifetime will premiere Imperfect High, a made-for-TV movie on substance abuse September 18th. Nina Su, that's from Dance Moms, and Sherry Shepherd, who once had a sitcom on Lifetime, sitcom series, will co-star. By the way, the movie is a sequel to a hit from last year called, and that is News Notes for today. We are in day five of Series Fest, the annual virtual festival for potential TV series pilots, potential TV series, going on as we speak out of Denver, Colorado. 2 weeks ago, we had the co-organizer Randy Kleiner on the program, and we are continuing our coverage today with a view, or I should say a hearing, if you will, of a new pilot called Middle of Nowhere. It's a pilot that's coming through dealing with the subject of middle age, and it's coming into Series Fest on a real head of steam. It has already won several awards and nominations at various film and TV festivals around the country. And joining us live from Los Angeles to talk about it is its producer, writer, and director, playwright-turned-TV person, Michelle Palermo. Michelle, welcome to our program.
Thank you, Simon. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
It is a pleasure. Michelle, like I mentioned, we're in day five of Series Fest. Are you getting any buzz so far about your pilot?
Well, we are, actually. We've been doing some great programming, watching other people's pilots. We want to see what other people are doing, too. So I've gotten some great feedback from a lot of fellow creators who have watched the show. And, of course, the Series Fest team is amazing, Randy and Kaylee and the whole programming team. I had a very interesting workshop with some fellow creators and Amanda Pally from CBS, who it was just a great hour that we spent. She had watched everybody's pilots, and she talked to us about, you know, what she liked and what she thought and where she thought we would, you know, belong. And it was just it's a great fest. And for people who are into TV and creating television and want to find a way to, you know, do something on your own and bring it to market, there's nothing better than Series Fest.
Your pilot, Michelle, Middle of Nowhere, deals with middle age. What is the point or the big point you wanted to make in this pilot about middle age and dealing with it?
Well, it's the universality of that moment when you realize that, you know, the life you've lived meets a certain number of years that you have left, you know, even if it's the best case scenario. And there's that moment that comes and really talking to other people, it seems like in that moment, nobody is truly happy. You know, it's like it didn't work out perfect for anybody, no matter who they are. And there's something about that reckoning, that moment of reckoning that I find really fascinating, that when we're younger, we think we're supposed to be something by then, happy, organized, settled. And it's rarely that case, you know, that it's that in that moment that you find out that life is really about reorganizing all the time. You're never there, you know, so there's a lot of story to be told there. And that's what fascinates me about it. And then also just in terms of the character of Lisa, who is the character in my show, who is middle-aged, she's just turned 50, exploring that invisibility that comes with being a woman at that age, that you just sort of don't matter anymore. You know, you can't have kids. Your youth is over and nobody really wants to hear anything you have to say. And so quite often women that age go on, you know, become the caretakers of their parents and the grown-up, the moms of their grown-up kids. And it's a very odd time in life. And it's very funny. So
you've been stewing with this dramedy interpretation of middle age for quite a while. How did it come to you to do this as a series?
Well, I lived it. Basically, it just everything comes to me really at this moment as a series. I actually teach television pilot writing at Columbia University, so my brain is constantly in TV mode these days. So almost everything comes to me in a series thought. But I was living this moment in my own life. I had left New York. My husband and I had left New York after 6 years there. And he took a job in Sacramento, and I didn't want to be in Sacramento. I wanted to be back in L.A., and I was like, I want to go back. I want to start, you know, my career again. I'm ready to get out there. And I got back here, and there was sort of nothing for me. And it really just kind of felt like my life can't be over yet. And that was really the inspiration for this. And then Lisa in the show is divorced or about to divorce. And I have a lot of friends who are in middle age who are divorced. And that journey of you know, a woman who is sort of become invisible, trying to find love, you know, or companionship or just a date that's decent, in a world where it's all computerized now, you know, and everything's, you know, about matching up in a way that, you know, when we were younger, that wasn't the case. It's just an interesting place to explore stories. So it's really from a very personal place of things that myself and women I know are going through.
Middle of Nowhere is one of the many TV series pilots now being screened as we speak at Series Fest. That's the virtual festival going on in Denver, Colorado. Hopes to be back in person next year. And we're speaking with the producer, writer, director of one of those pilots, Middle of Nowhere, Michelle Palermo. She joins us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow We Televise. If you have a question or comment for her, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And, by the way, it's Simon Applebaum here from New York, where it's 93 degrees at the top of the hour. First of three episodes we're doing this week on Tomorrow We Televise as we leave the first half of 2021 and zip into the second half of the year. We have one more episode in June. That will be on Wednesday, less than 48 hours from now. And we got a good 90 minutes for you. We'll have the founder and chief executive officer of a new venture called Blockboard, Matt Wasserloff. It's a new venture that not only combines programming that is funded through blockchain and cryptocurrency, but a very unique way to put advertising in the programming. And Matt will tell us all about it. He'll be our lead guest. And then you'll meet two programming entrepreneurs who have teamed up for a new project on BET Her, the sister network of BET, called BET Her Presents, that premiered next week. We'll talk to Teresa Azaro-Smallwood and Mona Scott Young. And in our final half hour, we want to hear from you. What did you think of this first half of 2021 television? What do you think is going to happen in the second half? I'll have some thoughts, but first I want to hear from you. So give us a call, use our chat room, and join us for that final half hour of our 90 Minutes Marvel Televised on the final day of June 2021. That's Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio Speaker and TuneIn Radio. Michelle, unlike a lot of other people who do TV series pilots, you actually, rather than just write a pilot script or two pilot scripts, you actually wrote like 8-9 episodes. Why did you do that?
I couldn't stop. That's why I did. I really want to do the first season of this series. I think it's, it never occurred to me to only write the pilot. I wrote the pilot and then I just kept going because it's a full story to tell. I mean, to be honest, if my producers didn't stop me, I probably would have written 3 seasons by now. But we want to make sure that we're making it before I start writing more. But I had a vision for this show. And, you know, when you're a writer and you sit down to write something, you don't stop until it's finished. And I wasn't finished telling the story of this family gathering at Christmas time, which is the first season of the show. The whole first season takes place over a period of 48 hours as this family merges together to have Christmas in Los Angeles. And until the story was done and I knew how it turned out, which I didn't when I sat down to write it, I wasn't satisfied. So I ended up with 8 finished episodes. We've shot 2 of them. We shot the pilot. And then as long as we were getting together to do it, figured we'd shoot at least another one. And then COVID hit. So we had to, stop. And I decided to just finish up fully the 2 episodes that we had as COVID was keeping us on lockdown. I edited the project myself and then take it to market. So right now we're looking for a chance to get back on set and shoot the other 6 episodes that complete season 1 so we can get it on television, because a television show isn't a television show unless it's televised. So that's the dream. That's why 6 episodes, because we want to do a whole full season. It's really hard. You can't put 2 episodes of a show on TV. It's not enough. So that's why.
Was it your intention all along, Michelle, to be all 3 things, producer, writer, and director? And if not, how did that happen where you had to take on all 3 roles?
Well, writer, absolutely. Always the writer. Executive producer was because I used my own money to do it. Would I have loved to have not had to do that? And my husband's my co-executive producer, so, we would have loved to have not had to do that, but because I wanted to do the show that I wanted to do, that's just a natural thing that happens, that you go into your piggy bank and your credit cards and all the other places that you find extra little bits of cash to put together. Director, I really couldn't afford a director, to be honest. That wasn't me. And I have directed my own work before. But honestly, now that it happened, now that I did it, and I directed my own work in this show, I can't imagine it not being that way. I have worked with other directors. I work very closely when I'm the writer on something with the directors. It's almost like we're 2 sides of 1 human. But in this case, because I was very specifically creating characters that were real to me in my own life, and I had a very specific vision of who these people were, somehow the fact that I had written the project and was able to work with the actors helped create a reality in these characters that really worked. And I really enjoy directing. I love it. I mean, it turns out I like it. You babysit the project then for the rest of time. So I don't know how it would be if you didn't actually create the material yourself. It would be a whole different thing to, come into somebody else's world and then take their project over and take care of it all the way to the end. But I loved it. And that's how it happened. It was sort of out of necessity comes, a new hyphenate, I guess.
Michelle, we have a call, and we're going to take it. Hello, you're on Tomorrow. We'll be televised. What's your name, and where are you calling from? Go right ahead. Yes, go ahead. You're on. What's your name, and where are you calling from? For some reason, our caller is not coming on the line. Let's try one more time, and let's see if she comes on right about stretching, as they say in the business, right now. Hello, you're on Tomorrow Be Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from? Go ahead. All right, for some reason we're not getting it. We'll try again in a little bit. Michelle, the person you had for your lead role of Lisa is a woman named Elena Wohl. I understand that she was in the Oscar-winning movie Spotlight.
Yes.
Was that performance what led you to pick her for the lead role, really playing you?
You know, it was her audition. You know, when you're looking for actors, so my co-producer, Lolly Howe, and I cast the whole show ourselves. Larry Gilbert, who's also a producer, was involved at the callback level. But we, you know, I scoured basically through all of the submissions, whether they were from agents or Actors Access or breakdown services. I looked at every single picture resume that came in for that role, and there were many. Certainly the reel that Elena submitted that included not only her performance in Spotlight, but her performance on Seinfeld, her performance on Mad About You, she did a lot of the sitcoms back in the day, were part of what brought her into the room. You know, really that performance, her ability to connect with the role. But honestly, they brought her to the audition. But when Elena Wohl walked into our audition room, she just lit the whole place up. It was an amazing moment. I turned to Lolly Howe, my producer, and I just said, why isn't this woman a huge star? You know, she just has this quality that she fills the whole room. And she goes, well, she's going to be a star now. And she just brought so much life and joy and really she grounded that role in such a real place. I mean, we joke around now because Elena and I, you know, writing a character that an actress comes into play that's based on you is a lot of pressure on an actress. It really is. I mean, and she handled it with incredible grace, and she was such a trooper. There was nothing we asked her to do that she would not try. And she was just she and I become great friends, and now we joke around that we're sort of like, you know, separated at birth. There's so many things, although she looks different than me. She, you know, she has a different life than I do, but we really are so connected that it's interesting. We didn't know any of those things about each other. I didn't know any of those things that Elena is so much like me, but there is something she brought to that role that she grounded it in a place where, you know, she played a character that, you know, certainly isn't exactly me, but it's grounded in me. She's an amazing actress, that woman.
All right, let's see if we can get our caller finally on the air. Hello, you're on Tomorrow We Televise. What's your name and where are you calling from? Hello, you're on the air. Go ahead. Going one?
It's a crank.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. You're on the air. Well, for some reason, our caller decided not to follow through and get the voice going. So sorry about that. We gave it a try, and we thank the caller, by the way, for whoever that person is for calling. You are listening to Michelle Palermo. She is the producer, writer, director of Middle of Nowhere. It's one of the many pilots that's being screened this week at Series Fest, the virtual television festival out of Denver, Colorado. And if you have a question or comment or many minutes with Michelle, give us a call, 646-652-2906. We'll use that chat room. Simon Apple 04 by name. We hope you get your post July 4th holiday weekend week off to a great start next Tuesday on Tomorrow Be Televised. We'll have a special 2-hour edition for you. And I'm delighted to tell you that our lead guest will be from the brand new reboot of Leverage. Remember that TNT series with Timothy Hutton and those heist folks doing their thing for 3 or 4 seasons on that network? Well, now it's back starting July 9th. On IMDb.tv, that's the Amazon ad-supported TV network, and executive producer Dean Devlin, who did the original show, he's doing the new one with Noah Wiley as the lead star, and he will be with us as our lead guest. Dean Devlin from Leverage Redemption, which starts July 9th on IMDb.tv, will join us. The series will also be running later on ION Television, on a broadcast station all over the country. Plus, we'll talk to the person behind a company called Open Gate Entertainment that's trying to get new TV series on the air. Mike Anderson, the co-originator of that project, is going. Plus, you'll meet TV host and social media personality Akil Orion. He's one of the folks that Open Gate is trying to have a new series for. And we'll also find out about a new travel programming service on smart TV sets and devices from a company called Questar. Vice President Josh De Silva will be with us. It's all coming up next Tuesday, July 6th, special two-hour edition of our program. It all kicks off at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, and we hope you kick off your post-July 4th holiday weekend week with us. Michelle, you were able to film the show before the pandemic hit last year, but then you had to, I understand, post-produce it.
Yes. During the lockdown, that was an interesting process, actually, because, you know, usually when you're in post-production, you do all of the stuff. So I edited it, right? I did the editing at home on, I didn't do it on my laptop because at that point my laptop was so old that I had to actually bring in a rental computer to be able to handle editing the show, because I wasn't really planning on doing that. But the whole process of post-production, much like everything with production, is very collaborative. You know, I had Larry Gilbert, I had Susie Kim, my associate producer, I had Lolly Howe, my other producer. So, and you know, and you have the sound editor, and you have the color correction, and those are all things that usually you do in a room together, right? It's a collaborative process. So you sit in a room with the sound, and you go, no, 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 yes, excellent, bad, louder. But we were doing it all in separate spaces. So this project was traveling over Hightail and in Google Drive and in Dropbox, and, you know, and then people would get it and we'd get notes. And so the people who worked on post-production with me, who brought in, you know, because there's a lot of car scenes that we have, and we spend a lot of time in the car because they're driving to L.A. And so we had to get somebody who would put in the comps behind the plates behind the green screen and the windows to make it look like the car is moving. And all of these people, I had Mike, there's so many Mikes in our show. They were amazing, amazingly patient, excellent work, you know, because you're moving the project around from producer to producer and getting notes on all of these things instead of everybody being in the same room. So it's challenging. It took a little bit longer this way. You know, something that's usually a three-day process can take up to, you know, 6 weeks when you're doing it this way. But it was COVID, so nobody had any place to go. So we kept very busy during the pandemic with Post.
As I mentioned earlier, you're coming into Series Fest with this pilot on ahead of steam. You've already won 3 awards at a film festival here in New York that was held earlier this year. Best TV show, you as director,
yes.
Your star, Alina, as best actress. You've also won a project at a place called Hollywood 4 Shorts Fest as best TV episode. Did you expect that? And I'm curious why you decided to enter those specials, which are mostly, I believe, for film as opposed for pure television, which is what Series Fest is.
Right. Did I expect it? No. I have to be really honest. There was a moment when I made a decision to start entering festivals, and it was, you know, it was after the show was post-produced, and it was still COVID, and it's impossible to get it to people in the industry because you're not going on meetings, you're not going into rooms, you know, you're not having dinner with people or lunch. And so I made a decision to put it out to festivals. And I will say, and I've talked to a bunch of people at Series Fest, it's a hard decision as a filmmaker because, you know, every festival has their own bent, they have their own jury, they have their own things that they like. And for every festival that you get accepted to, the ratio, now this worked out a little bit better for us, but the ratio that they say is you're going to get accepted to one festival for every 10 you don't get accepted to. And the disheartening thing about that is it seems like the 9 come in before the 1. And so you've submitted this to all these festivals and you're getting like, no, no. And it's like, oh my God, this must not be good. I thought this was good. You know, so we got into New York City International Film Festival, which was really fun. It was, you know, it was online and, you know, I'd been in New York for years. So it would have been very fun to do that festival in person, but I wasn't expecting this to win at all. I was excited to be there, but we were thrilled. And then we got the, you know, Hollywood Just for Shorts nod, which wasn't a screening. It was just a competition. And when we got into Series Fest, though, that was the biggest thing. And this sounds like a made up story because we are at Series Fest right now, but it's not. You can ask anybody on my set who were saying to me, "Why are you making a television show independently? Like, is that even a thing?" And I said, I'm making a television show independently because there's a thing called Series Fest where you can bring independent television pilots to it and, you know, people watch them who are looking for new television. So I thought, why not do this? And so when we got into Series Fest, we were thrilled. To be honest, it was also a huge relief to me because when you make something for a certain purpose, it would have been absolutely horrifying had we not gotten in. But I was so excited. And I really want to do a shout out because they've done such a great job putting this festival online. It is not easy to put a film festival online and make the filmmakers, you know, who really part of the festival experience is to go and be with people and meet new people and see your project on the big screen. So, you know, it is a little bit of a taking the wind out of the sails to find out everything's online. But I will say they have done an exceptional job, you know, to connect us as filmmakers. I'm so excited every day. Lolly and I, my producer, have made this, like, we've made a schedule. We're watching all the talks. We're watching all everybody else's pilots so that when I go back into a meeting, I can, like, you know, chat with people and say, oh, my gosh, I watched your pilot last night. So it's really exciting to be here, and we've entered into a few other festivals, and fingers crossed that, you know, that the momentum will keep going, because for independent projects there really is no other way to get seen and get, you know, your show made. And that's why Series Fest is such a great opportunity for television makers. I, like I said, I teach at Columbia, and I am talking this up to my students. Like, go make your pilots. There are places that will show them. Go make independent content. So, you know, kudos to Series Fest for existing. Because for independent television, people who want to make television pilots, it has historically been such a process to get it done where you have to be on the inside in order to get something made. And they are allowing for people who are in the world and making independent content to come and be a part of something great. And I'm really appreciative of that.
Michelle, we have about a minute left. How close are you to a deal?
Not close enough yet. Let's just put it that way. Hopefully closer every day. Let's just put it that way. We had our opening night party with our group, and I made them a promise that we were going to get back on set. So, you know, hopefully inching ever closer to a deal every day. And thank you for letting me share this story. On Tomorrow Will Be Televised, Simon, because the more I can get out and talk about Middle of Nowhere and what a great show it is and how ready we are to get back on set, the closer we get to that deal.
Well, we appreciate that. And we have been on the air for nearly 14 years, one of our mandates has been, A, to expand diversity in the TV industry, but also to give a voice to new voices in television, whether on the content side or the technology side. And you're certainly one of the ones that may be on the verge of making that deal happen. Again, the poem is called Middle of Nowhere. And if you want more details online about the making of this pilot and maybe see some clips, here's where you go online, www.middleofnowhere.tv, the www.middleofnowhere.tv. And for more details about Series Fest, which continues all week long virtually from Denver, SeriesFest.com, at SeriesFest.com. We'll be monitoring the situation there. And as we mentioned earlier in the month, as soon as we find out who the winners of the independent pilot competition are, we'll invite at least one or two of them to come on our show next month. And who knows? It might be Michelle's pilot. We will hear and see as well. Michelle, thank you again for joining us. Good luck with everything at Series Fest. And let us know, no matter what, when you get the deal, we'd love to have you back.
I would love that. Thank you so much, Simon.
You're very, very welcome, Michelle. Thank you for coming aboard. Have a great, great week. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Michelle Palermo joining us live from Los Angeles. When we come back, not one, but two programs from Netflix about the world of animals are coming on July 7th. One is second season and one is first. And we've got the executive producer behind both. His name is Glenn Zipper. You'll meet him from Los Angeles, plus our classic trivia question of the week, after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, tune.com. Together reaching over 60 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Don't forget tomorrow on BTR, it's Kings in the Morning, the weekday attraction with Jay King and crew. Catch Jay and all the posse with a lot of great music, news, all sorts of information, and plenty of fun entertainment for you. That's Kings in the Morning. That's tomorrow, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, always on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, best BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of this Tomorrow Be Televised Hour, coming your way live from New Haven, York. 90 degrees, top of the hour. Sign up, I'm with you live from New Haven, York. And we'll have our next guest coming away. But first, some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. Are you into medical dramas that are on the very romantic side? How about this one? You Love Me Once by Corinne Michaels. It's one of the new audiobooks you can get and have a trial run for. How? Through a special trial with Audible.com. You know, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and very much inspiration. Over 200,000 titles to choose from, and you can listen to them on any device. Whatever you're making us on right now, it's Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tune Radio, Amazon Music, IR Radio, Apple Podcasts, Verbal, etc. Just sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. What do you get for that? One free audio book, 1 month trial, great health and wellness information that, who knows, could be life-saving for you or someone you know, and great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. And don't forget, if you're already an Amazon Prime member, you can get 2 audiobooks for your trial of one. One of those books coming from the growing catalog of Audible Originals. We're talking original audio presentations and podcasts, best of Broadway, off-Broadway, and regional theater, and great one-woman and one-man performances. So how about making today the day that you hear how Audible.com can transform the way you, or someone you know, hears the world. Great gift for you during this July 4th holiday weekend or beyond. For all details, it's audibletrial.com/televised. My next guest is executive producer of not one, but 2 unscripted series on Netflix, both dealing with the animal world. One is called Dogs, which on July 7th goes into its second season. At the same time, a new series he's doing goes in with first, called Cat People. Joining us live from Los Angeles, executive producer Glenn Zipper. Glenn, thanks for coming aboard.
Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. What's it like to have not one, but 2 unscripted shows about the animal kingdom on Netflix?
It feels like my obituary is destined to just be about dogs and cats. I've gone all in. There's no pulling out now. I am the dog and cat guy. No matter how many Oscars, no matter how many Emmys come in the future, this will be my legacy.
Why have you gone all in on these 2 famous household pets?
Well, all kidding aside, you know, I've been making documentaries for over a decade, every type and every genre of documentaries, but I had a deep and personal relationship with dogs in particular. Being a producer is my second career. I was actually a criminal prosecutor back on the East Coast in Hudson County, New Jersey, and I had an encounter with a stray pit bull puppy on the streets of Jersey City, which then took me to an animal shelter. I quit my job. I turned in my badge and went to volunteer at the animal shelter, and then for the first time in my adult life, I was happy. And I wanted to stay happy and couldn't volunteer at an animal shelter for the rest of my life and be able to afford to eat. So I decided to chase my dream, my real dream, which was not being a lawyer. It was telling stories. And I came out here and I started to make documentaries. And when the time came where I had the power or the ability to get a show off the ground just because I wanted to, dogs is where I started, because that was taking me full circle from the day I met that pit bull puppy on the streets of Jersey City. And when the show came out on Netflix 3 years ago, the response to it was like nothing I've ever seen before. I mean, I produced a film called Undefeated that won the Oscar for Best Documentary. And in terms of response, the response to dogs far exceeded the response to Undefeated. Undefeated has a large and loyal fan base, but nothing like dogs. And once I made that connection with audiences, it was clear to me that I needed to keep telling those types of stories, and cats seemed like the next logical step as well.
How did the experience being inside an animal shelter and to see how it works and what the people who work at the shelter deal with day in and out, how did it impact how you fashioned both shows, both Dogs and Cat People?
You know, it's interesting. There's so many people out in the world who want to help, who want to rescue dogs, want to rescue cats. There's something about an animal shelter, the unbearable sadness of stepping into one and knowing that you can't save them all, that actually keeps people away from animal shelters. It's a bit of a catch-22. And so one of the first things that I started doing when I was volunteering at animal shelters was I would take the dogs out of the animal shelter and I would take them into town. When I was back in New Jersey, that meant taking them over the bridge to Central Park or into Hoboken and giving people an opportunity to engage with these animals at their happy place and in their comfort zone. And I took that lesson and I applied it to documentary filmmaking. Like, people don't want to work all day long, come home tired, kick off their shoes, and then watch a depressing show about animals who are in peril, they want to have the same sort of feeling they have when they walk through the door after a long day and their dog is ready to greet them, and they're wagging their tail and shaking their butts, and the endorphins start seeping into your brain, that love feeling. And so we really try to imbue that same thing into these shows. Doesn't mean we can't tackle difficult issues, but in doing so, it doesn't have to be a depressing journey.
Mm-hmm. How did these series land on Netflix, and what is it like working with them, especially since they're becoming more and more not only getting a reputation for quality fiction programming, but also more and more nonfiction programming?
Well, you know, Netflix is at the top of the mountain, so we always have the ambition of pitching them. And when we pitched Dogs, now it's got to be 4 or 5 years ago, they responded with such enthusiasm that we weren't going to go across the street to anyone else. It was a match made in heaven. They really wanted to be part of this. They really wanted to support it. And they do hire the best and the brightest. So the people that we work with on the creative side over at Netflix do such a wonderful job at helping us make the show even better.
We're speaking with Glenn Zipper. He is the executive producer of two series that will be popping up again on Netflix July 7th, week from Wednesday. Dogs, now in season 2, and its first season, Cat People. We'll talk more about Cat People in just a moment. And if you have a question or comment for Glenn, who joins us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Smart Beat Televised, make a call. It's that simple. 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. Number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country, around the world, here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Again, first of three episodes we're doing this week before your July 4th holiday weekend. Next one comes your way on Wednesday, and our lead guest is going to be the founder and chief executive of a new venture called Blockboard. It combines getting new TV series on the air and advertising within the series. Matt Wasserland will tell you how. And he's the founder and chief executive officer of very fascinating ventures. Oh, yes, includes cryptocurrency and blockchain technology. Then we'll meet two female content entrepreneurs who are working on a special project for BET Her, the sister network of BET, called BET Her Presents, premieres also next week. We'll talk to Tessa Asaro Smallwood, Mona Scott Young. All coming your way on a 90-minute edition of Tomorrow Be Televised, which also will include you. We want to hear your thoughts about how you think about the first half of TV 2021, which wraps up on Wednesday, and your thoughts about what you hope the second half will bring you. Now some thoughts as well. So you can compare, contrast, challenge, whatever, and we want to hear from you. So give us a call. Use our chat room Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. We definitely want you involved in the conversation. Glenn, first of all, we should point out that Cat People has nothing to do with the famous horror movie of the 1940s, one of the best, by the way, or the Brian De Palma remake with Natasha Kinski, which I'm not a fan of, very, very bloody, not much imaginative, that's personal thought. But what is Cat People all about?
I think when many of us think about cat people, sometimes there's a negative stereotype that's associated with it. If you're a cat person, you're odd or crazy or weird or something like that, which is just silly. The same type of people who love dogs, love cats. Maybe sometimes we have some cat people out there who are a bit more unique, but that's just it. They're unique or they're special or they're actually quite cool. And so we wanted to operate against that negative stereotype and really explore who cat people are and go on journeys with some of the most fascinating cat people in the world. And it's also a show that leans a little bit more into humor. It's a lighter show than Dogs. We spent the whole editorial process literally in tears laughing half the time. It's been a great, great process.
How long did it take to find the cat people that you and your crew believe to be the most fascinating?
It took quite a while. I mean, sourcing the stories isn't all that difficult because everyone thinks that their cat is a movie star, right? So when we reach out to people, we find something that we think is interesting. They're quite enthusiastic about engaging with us. But to find characters that you can be invested in, both human and cat alike, who are going on a journey that we can follow in real time that in some way is paid off by the end of the episode, that's harder. And so I think it took us probably about 6 months of intensive work to cast the 6 episodes of season 1.
And where did you find them? Were they, let's say, based in a particular part of the country, or did you have to go overseas, or let's say up north to Canada, up down south to Mexico to find them?
Well, it was a worldwide, world-spanning search, and we ended up having episodes in the States, in Japan, in Greece, and we just went where the best stories happened to be. There was no mandate to have any number of stories domestically or internationally. We just wanted the cream of the crop.
And in that search, did you find, Glenn, that certain countries are more respectful of cats and the people who own them than others?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think we're all familiar with where cats sit in our hearts here in the States. You know, we love cats. In Japan, they're quite honored. They're almost treated like mystical creatures. But then there's an episode that takes place in the Greek island called Syros, where the cats were actually viewed as pests overrunning the island. And through the work of this sanctuary called God's Little People, they really did do the heavy lifting of changing people's minds. And now the island loves their cats for the most part and honors them.
Mm-hmm. Now, with the second season of Dogs, it's also premiering on July 7th. How is that different from the first season?
Well, I think it's the same in the sense that, you know, they are really emotional stories, all of them. We don't do an internal rating system of 1 to 5 stars. We do 1 to 5 tissue boxes, but in terms of how many times you're going to cry across watching these episodes. Spoiler alert, no harm comes to any dogs. No dogs die. So when I say you're going to cry a lot, I mean you're going to cry happy tears. If there is anything a little bit different in the evolution of the show across season one into season two, it's that we really did want to lean into joy. We started the production of season two before COVID, but we were in the middle of it when COVID really hit its peak, and it became even more essential in our minds to tell happy stories because that's what people needed, and that's what we all need right now. So I think leaning into joy is really the theme of season two.
Mm-hmm. And what did you learn, by the way, from doing the first season several years ago that you applied to both bringing dogs back and bringing on cat people? Were there certain production techniques or certain ways you treat subjects or certain ways you treat animals that changed the focus or changed how you approach the subject?
Not so much. I think we had so much success with season one. We came at it from the perspective of if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But by the same token, if there's anything that we want to adjust, it's maybe the way that we engage with our audience outside of the show on social media and otherwise, because we really did seem to develop a family around dogs. I mean, there are so many millions of people who watch the show, and we're so grateful for that. But there's a subset of that population who really are passionate about the show. You know, if there's a Trekkie allegory or analogy to what we do, we have sort of doggers, right, who are just so over the moon passionate about the show that we wanted to have that sort of exchange with them where we're giving back as much love as they're giving us. So I've developed a relationship with so many of our fans, and they're precious to us.
Incidentally, between the first series and this season, did you get a lot of feedback from viewers saying, I've got a story idea for you, there's a friend of mine or a neighbor of mine that you definitely ought to cover, or there's an agency that uses dogs in a way that, let's say, rescue operations, things, or police stations? Did any of that come into to play in the second season?
A billion percent. As a matter of fact, we asked people to send us stories for season two, and in retrospect, it might have been a bit of a miscalculation and also kind of funny in retrospect, because it turns out, I think I alluded to this earlier in our conversation, everyone thinks that their dog is a movie star, just like everyone thinks their cat is a movie star. So people were submitting stories to us that, you know, the dogs were cute. The dogs did do funny things. The dogs were smart, but there was not really anything that was happening that could sustain over 60 minutes of a Netflix television show. So we had the sad duty of having to disappoint some people and say, your dog is awesome and you are awesome, but you're not quite ready for prime time.
Mm-hmm. Was there sort of a mitigating factor here that sort of separated the what you used from what you didn't use?
Yeah, again, it's really about being able to follow stories in real time, where there is a journey with a beginning, middle, and an end. And at the end of the episode, there is some sort of payoff that's satisfying. that's the formula. It's very easy to say, but very difficult to execute on. And the stories that we knew that we'd be able to execute on are the ones that we chose.
Once you picked a subject for either series, how long did you spend with them?
It depends. It's really a pragmatic approach. You know, if we have an episode of Cat People, like was the episode that we entitled Catwabunga, which is about a surfing cat, that was really revolving around a celebration of the cat's birthday. It's literally a cat birthday party. So there was the condensed time frame there, right? We wanted to be there for the preparation. We wanted to be able to see the cat surf, and we obviously wanted to be there for the party. But then if you're taking an episode like The Protectors, which is one of the episodes of Dog Season 2, you're following a priest in Brazil who's made it his life's mission to save dogs in his community. And that was more of a holistic approach. We really needed to be there for quite a while, and then we did have to pause for the pandemic and then go back. So, you know, that was over a series of months.
Mm-hmm. Incidentally, with the dogs series, has there been an episode yet on seeing eye dogs, how they deal with the blind, or
being impaired? No, we haven't done a seeing eye dog episode yet. In season one, the first episode is about a young lady that suffers from epilepsy, and she had a service dog that could alert her to oncoming seizures and assisted her and her family in other ways, and that was a really special episode and really got a terrific response. And if we do future seasons of Dogs, which I hope we will, certainly we'll be looking for more stories of that color.
Mm-hmm. You know, throughout the history of scripted television, we've had dog heroes and cat heroes. We've had Rin Tin Tin, Lassie, The Littlest Hobo, Run Joe Run on the dog side. And on the cat side, we've had either pets, or we've had the Mary Tyler Moore logo, you know, meow, the cat that came on at the end of every Mary Tyler Moore show. When you hear feedback from viewers or ideas for suggestions for future episodes or subjects, do you get that kind of comparison? You know, I have the next Rin Tin Tin. I've got the next Mary Tyler Moore cat. I've got the next, Lassie near my neighborhood.
Sure. You know, again, it goes back to we all love our animals so much that, you know, we think our dog is the smartest, best, cutest dog on the planet. Same goes for people with their cats. Usually the best stories are drawn from people who aren't seeking that kind of attention for themselves or their dog. They're just sort of going about their life. And we find a way to identify them and then just follow them and follow their process. Usually when you have someone that is in the business of promoting their cat or their dog, there's a performative quality to it that feels a bit more like reality TV, and that's not what Cat People or Dogs is. These are shows that are made by some of the best document. These are episodes that are made by some of the best documentary filmmakers in the world, and they each sort of play like their own premium documentary film. And so that's really the difference between the two types of animal-related content and the two types of people out there who want to tell stories about their dogs and cats.
Netflix has two series done by the same executive producer about the world of animals, dogs, now in season two, Cat People going to season one. Both will premiere their seasons respectively on July 7th on Netflix, available on most smart TV sets and smart TV devices. We've got the executive producer of both shows, Glenn Zipper, live with us in Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. And if you have a question or comment on remaining minutes with Glenn, make the call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04, my name. Coming up before the top of the hour, before we leave you today, we have our classic trivia question of the week. And if you're first with the correct answer, we have two classic TV soundtracks for you, The Outer Limits by Dominic Frontier, One Step Beyond by Harry Lubin. So stay tuned. Both soundtracks could be yours if you got the correct answer and you get in first before anyone else does. Glenn, do you have any idols or role models in the TV documentary world that you look up to? It's like, how would David Wolper do this? How would, Ken Burns do this?
Yeah, I mean, I think I look up to so many different filmmakers. You know, we're all peers, you know, so it's hard to be on the same baseball team as someone and say that, like, the shortstop's your idol. But absolutely, every filmmaker that I work with, whether it's a director or another producer, there's something to be learned from them. There's always something that somebody does better than you, right? And if you could just trail behind them or drift behind them and keep your eyes open, keep your ears open, you can learn something and get better. And there's so many, you know, most recently I've been working on a show with Mark Monroe, who was the writer of Icarus, the Academy Award-winning documentary. He was also the writer of the Academy Award-winning documentary, The Cove. And every time I'm around that guy, I learn something new. You know, he's a really remarkable talent. And so I always try and keep my eyes and ears open on every production with everyone that I work with and try and make myself a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. By the way, with either series, Dogs or Cat People, do you deploy any new technology, things like smaller cameras or GoPros or unique sound equipment to try to get more inside the world of both the animals and the people?
Not so much. It's really about, you know, sometimes angles and such, so you feel like you're looking at something from a dog's perspective. We try and stay away from novel technologies. I mean, the GoPro is not so novel anymore, but again, we always want these episodes to feel premium and like feature docs and not like reality shows or social media based content. So we use the same equipment that we would use for a feature-length documentary, even a feature-length scripted film.
So, Glenn, what's next for you while you wait to see how both of these respective seasons do on Netflix? Are you working on any other Netflix shows? Do you want to expand yourself into other nonfiction areas, maybe even step into fiction, scripted? What's next for you?
Absolutely. Well, we do have the series I was alluding to that we worked on with Mark Monroe called UFO. Which is the exploration into, obviously, UFOs. We produced that with J.J. Abrams and Bad Robot. That's coming out on Showtime on August 8th. Very excited about that. And just as I was starting this interview, I was watching a cut of our documentary, Four Seasons Total Documentary. Yes, it's a documentary about Four Seasons Total Landscaping, and it's amazing and hilarious. So very excited for us to finish that and get it out into the world. And we do have another animal theme show that'll be coming out sometime in the next year or so that we're producing with Susan Downey and Robert Downey Jr. called The Bond. That's going to be on Discovery Plus, and that's not about dogs or cats. It's actually about animals that were never intended to be domesticated that have strong bonds with human beings. And don't worry, it's not like the Tiger King. These are all animals that really did need the assistance of humans and humanity in order to survive in one way or another. There's certainly not people keeping exotic animals as pets, and we're very excited about that show as well.
Netflix, next Wednesday, brings on the second season of Dogs, the first season of Cat People. Netflix, of course, available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. For more details about both shows and the rest of what you can find on Netflix, go to Netflix.com. That's Netflix.com. Once again, Dogs Season 2, Cat People Season 1, both executive produced by our guest, Glenn Zipper. That starts July 7th. That's next Wednesday on Tomorrow Will Be next Wednesday on Netflix. Glenn, thank you so much for joining us. All the very best to you on these projects, plus the upcoming UFO project with J.J. Abrams, the folks with Bad Robot, and the other projects that you talked about just a moment ago. Thanks for coming on the program, and hopefully we'd love to have you back anytime you like.
Awesome. Thanks so much for having me.
You're very welcome, Glenn. Take care. All the greatest.
Bye-bye.
Glenn Zipper, executive producer of Dogs and Cat People on Netflix, joining us live from Los Angeles. Now time for our Tawabi Televised Classic Trivia Question. Again, if you're first with the correct answer, we've got a pair of great classic TV soundtracks for you. The original 1960 series of The Outer Limits with the music by Dominic Frontieri, and From One Step Beyond, the anthology about psychic phenomena based on true cases, hosted by John Newland, directed every episode. The classic music for that series by Harry Lubin. And that can be yours if you know the answer to this question, and you're first with the correct answer before anyone else. Here's the question. Name the 1970s ABC miniseries about the Jordache brothers. One of those brothers was acted by Peter Strauss. Name the 1970s ABC miniseries depicting the saga of the Jordache brothers. One of those brothers portrayed by Peter Strauss. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you are emailing from. If first with your answer, you will win both the Outer Limits and One Step Beyond soundtracks. If we don't get a winner by the end of today, we'll post the question first thing tomorrow morning on Facebook, where we have over 2,500 followers, and on Twitter, where we have over 750. Facebook is Simon Applebaum. Twitter is at UBC Simon TWBT. That's at UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, as we say around here, in order to play in, make it your business to be in. Because if you're in, you got that chance to win. So do so, and all the very best. Again, thank you to our guests, Michelle Palermo and Glenn Zipper, for joining us today on Tomorrow Tellers. Once again, with Michelle, if you want to catch her pilot, Middle of Nowhere, go to www.middleofnowhere.tv or go to seriesfest.com. And for more details about Glenn's programs for Netflix, Dogs and Cat People, netflix.com. We're back with you with our second of three episodes this week, our final one of June 2021, coming up less than 48 hours from now on Wednesday. Joining us will be Blackboard founder and chief executive officer Matt Wasseloff from the new series BET Her Presents that premieres next week. We'll have entrepreneurs Teresa Al-Smallwood and Mona Scott Young, and we'll devote the final half hour to your thoughts about the first half of TV21 and what you think the second half might bring. And I'll have some thoughts about that as well. And don't forget, we will kick off the week after, Tuesday, not Monday, Tuesday after July 4th holiday weekend, with a big two-hour edition, which kicks off with the executive producer of Leverage Redemption, Dean Devlin. That's all coming up next Tuesday, July 6th, day after July 4th holiday weekend. That's coming up next Tuesday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, big two-hour edition coming your way on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. If you came in late on today's program or you want to catch up an episode you missed, you know what to do. Go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. And check out our podcasts. They're available on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Amazon Music, Verbal, Speaker Podcast, TuneIn.com, and now Apple Podcasts. And again, thank you to everybody who's been joining us the last couple of weeks on Apple Podcasts. We really appreciate your feedback. Keep it coming. If you like what you hear, tell a friend and join us live so that you can be part of our conversations and go interactive with our guests. As always, we love hearing from you. What's your thoughts about our guests and their projects today? And what's your thoughts about where TV is at and where it's going? We want to hear from you. So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook and LinkedIn. Follow me on Twitter. And we do respond to however you communicate with us. Email or social media within 24 hours. And remember, we love hearing and responding to you because, as always, what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed here are those of the participants, not say those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Our production associate is Mandolin. Andy Toe is Blog Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Sonnenberg, head of content. The co-founders of this enterprise are Al Levy and Bob Charish. Tomorrow Be Televised is brought to you by Audible.com and Amazon Division. Remember, Audible will transform the way you hear the world. For a free audiobook or two and much more, for the one-month trial, it's audibletrial.com/televised. Makes a great gift this July 4th weekend and beyond. For Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a great rest of your day. Take it easy. If you're in a heat wave area, please do what you have to do. And please keep your thoughts and prayers going for everybody impacted by the condominium tower collapse late last week in Surfside, Florida. The rescue effort is still going on. They're trying to do the greatest job they can. So keep your thoughts and prayers for them and all the families that are waiting to hear about what is going on. We'll be back on Wednesday, 3 p.m. in New Pacific. You know where. Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio, Amazon Music, Verbal, iHeartRadio's Podcast Network, and Apple Podcasts. Until then, remember, stay well, stay tuned, stay great, and whatever you're doing between now and then, be sure to be great. And again, keep those thoughts and prayers alive. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.